This is Right from the Deep.
I'm Karen Ball.
And I'm Erin Taylor Young.
And this is the show that answers the question, why am I doing this?
Today we're going to talk about chains. Chains on our hearts, on our spirits that choke out creativity and our ability to share what God is asking us to share.
I think every writer has had that experience when they sit down to write and there's something constraining them. They put their fingers on the keyboard and it's like they just can't break through something that feels like it's wrapping around them and choking out their ability to do what they want to do. One of the things that we are coming to realize is that if you stop and you really take a hard look at what it is that's holding you back, it's usually the lies, the deceptions that we've allowed ourselves to believe, those things that are spoken deep inside of us by this dark voice that tells us no matter what we write, it will never be good enough. No matter what we do, it will never be enough. Our books will never reach people. They'll never change their lives. That voice is the voice of deception.
You know, Karen, on Sunday, my pastor was talking about this very thing, and he said, who is the preacher you listen to most? Mm. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, you talk for like an hour every Sunday, which is okay. But, you know, that was the answer I was thinking. And he's like, no, the preacher that people listen to most is Satan, because he's the one that has that running commentary in our hearts and our minds, and we listen too often. And who are we honoring when we listen to those things? We're not honoring God. We're honoring Satan. And that's the thing we need to stop doing. And today we want to help people learn how to stop doing that.
One of the things that we'll start out talking about then is two of the most common lies that writers buy into. Now, there are so many lies that we take in and we embrace, but we want to talk about the two most prevalent lies that we as writers deal with. The first is, this is my only chance. If I don't do this now and I don't do this right, I'll never have another chance. What if I blow this chance? I can't tell you how many times, as both an agent and an editor, I've been at writers' conferences and people have come with their one sheets and with their proposals with great fear and trembling. I even had experiences where people would come and they would sit down and they would put it in front of me and I would start reading and I'd glance up at them and tears would be running down their faces and they'd be shaking. It was so important to them to do all of this right and the nerves that were hitting them. And I would always tell them, you know, take a breath. It's okay. This is just one stop on the journey in your writing career. This is not your make or break it moment. There is really no such thing as a make or break it moment when God is in control of your career.
But it's easy to live there. I've been there, Karen. I've sat across from an agent and an editor thinking those very, very things. And it's so hard. And one of the other lies that people hear is, I'm no good.
Right.
And you know what? Maybe because that agent didn't say yes or that editor didn't say yes, maybe that has nothing to do with whether you're good. It's not the right time or the right place or the right story or the right publishing house or there's so many.
Right.
And also, you know, guess what? Writing is just plain hard. It's easy to think we're no good because it doesn't come easily. And that's a lie.
Do you know, I know a lot of amazing writers out there, a lot of writers whose words, when the readers get them in the books, they read them and they savor them because they're so beautifully stated. But every single one of those writers, I would guarantee you, at some point in the writing of that amazing, sometimes best-selling book, sat back and thought, this is all garbage. I can't do this. I can't say what I want to say. My characters are arguing with me and none of this makes any sense. I'm going to go sell shoes. writing is such a hard occupation. And because we're by ourselves when we're doing the act of writing physically by ourselves, it's easy then for those voices to sneak in and tell us you're wasting your time. Nothing that you're doing is good enough. You'll never get better.
So yeah, why do we listen to lies? That's one thing that you just said, but what else? Why else do we listen to lies?
Well, it's so easy to believe them. We're so programmed to think the worst, especially about ourselves. Women in particular, but everyone is so programmed to believe the worst. Everyone is programmed to think, I'm no good, and programmed to believe, I'm just not going to be able to do this. Whatever made me think I could do this. Those kinds of insidious, deceitful words come into our hearts and get implanted and wrapped all around our desire to serve God. And we forget that the the one who called us is the one who equips us. And it's not about us being good enough. It's about doing what he's asked us to do. It's about obedience. It's not so much about skill.
My husband, I think I've mentioned before, is a sociologist, and he's always telling me these sociological things.
Right.
And he tells me that it's easier to keep believing what you're believing than it is to change. When you're steeped in a lie, no matter how destructive it is, embracing a new reality is really hard and in fact causes a crisis in you.
Right.
Because you have to reject the old reality. Leaving a system that you know is very, very scary.
I had a really good friend who was in counseling dealing with a lot of issues from his childhood, and he was an adult. He was in his 30s or 40s, and he had these defense mechanisms that saved his life when he was a child in an abusive situation. But the counselor was sitting there looking at him, he said, and telling him, those defensive mechanisms that saved you as a child are destroying you as an adult. They're ruining your relationships. All that don't trust, don't feel, all those kinds of things that kept you safe and alive, they're destroying you now. You've got to let them go and move into a new place.
And that's so hard, and that's so scary. So why else do we listen to lies?
Do you know, another reason that we all struggle with is just that we are flat weary. We are tired.
Yes.
We are so good at taking care of everybody else. And we are so good at working into the wee hours and trying to meet our deadlines. And what do? We don't get the sleep we need. We don't get the care that we need from the standpoint of healthy nutrition. We don't get the exercise we need. All those things that are just no-brainers, things that we've known since we were kids in grade school, that we needed to do. But the problem is we are putting ourselves in a situation just like prisoners are put in for brainwashing. How did they brainwash victims? They do it by sleep deprivation, by withholding food, withholding physical care. You know, they make it so that they're so stripped down, and then they speak the lie to them and they start to take it in and embrace it. And we are opening ourselves to Satan's torture when we don't take care of ourselves. And we'll talk about that a little later. But that's one of the reasons we believe, because we're just flat weary.
And, you know, I think that when that happens, when we're weary, it's really hard then to recognize who is the foe and who is your friend.
Exactly.
So what are some ways that we can recognize the voice of the liar?
Well, you and I were talking about this earlier, and you brought up a great point. You said, look at the fruit. Is the voice speaking to you in condemnation, which makes you feel rotten? That is not the voice of the master. That is not God's voice. That's the voice of the deceiver. Or are you hearing things that are convicting you in areas that you need to change, but they lead you to restoration? They lead you to new energy and lead you to new understanding that lets you write in a deeper, more authentic way. That's the voice to listen to, not the voice of condemnation.
And the other thing is what you're hearing supported by scripture?
Absolutely.
If you're hearing something like, you are worthless, you know, that's not supported by scripture. I mean, even like Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. My friends, that is not worthless right there.
That's right. So how do we go about when we realize that these lies have come in and they've taken root inside of us? How do we break those chains of lies and deception that are constricting us?
I'm going to start with something that's very, very simple. We have to stop listening to the wrong preacher.
Right.
It's just like, change the freaking radio station.
My mom, there was an early morning host that my mom absolutely detested, and she knew his voice so well that the minute he started to speak, my mother would say, oh, no, you don't, not on my television, and she'd grab the remote and she'd change the channel. We need to get so familiar with the deceiver's voice that we do that. We change that radio station.
And God can help us to do that as long as we're praying and being sensitive. I believe that he goes, hey, guess what? That's the wrong voice, you know, and it's good. You know, Eve started down the wrong path just by listening to Satan. I mean, that was all it took to get started in the wrong direction. If we can just turn that voice off, then we're good. You know, James 4:7 says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. My friends, that is a promise that we can hold on to.
Also, as we talked about before with being weary, make sure you're taking care of your physical needs. Guys, sleep right. Get the right kind of food. Get some exercise. I know it sounds so obvious, and it is, but you know what? Not many of us really do it.
It's true.
And here's the problem. When we don't do it, we open ourselves up to deceit and lies that can come in and infect our hearts. And so I'm saying to you today, in this moment, make the decision. Look at taking care of your physical needs. Look at a good night's sleep, the right kind of food. That's part of your arsenal. That's part of your armor against the enemy and his lies and deceit.
Another thing that we can do is replace those lies with the truth.
Amen.
When we start hearing that preaching, we can actually stop it by replacing it with truth. And for that, scripture is so perfect because it's our ultimate source of truth. John 17:17 says, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth.
Amen.
That's why memorizing scripture is so useful. It sinks deep into our heart and it's there, and we can pull it out when we start hearing the lies. And not just stopping the preaching, we can actually set our minds to the positive. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
And you notice nowhere in there does it say whatever is condemnation, whatever is wrong, whatever you can't do, whatever you're unable to do. None of that, it's there. You're thinking about what's excellent and praiseworthy.
And not only that, but you're creating a new path. You know, I kind of think of it as like a riverbed. You know, the more that water runs through the riverbed, the more it cuts deep. So we need to let that river of truth flow. And the more we do, the more it flows, the more we are dwelling on what is true. And that's where God wants our minds to be.
One of the hard truths, though, is the fact that sometimes when we're in the midst of all this and when those chains are coming around us and we find that we're buying into all this stuff, it's hard for us to, even with scripture, to pull ourselves out of it. And so one of the things that I encourage people to do is to develop a truth team.
Yes.
People who will speak truth to you when you need it. It may be one person that you know and trust. Well, Erin has become that for me, where I can tell her things that have happened that have been hurtful and hard, and she will say, okay, now let's talk about truth here. And hearing that from somebody who knows you and who understands what you're going through is so powerful. Or get several people so that when these things come and they hit us and we can feel them kind of eroding away that foundation of trust in God, we can call them up and say, listen, I'm really struggling right now with whatever it is. I'm really struggling with insecurity. I'm really struggling with the sense that I'm wasting my time. I'm struggling with the feeling that I'm taking time away from my family. And I need you to speak truth to me right now.
Amen. You know, let's not pretend also that any of this is easy, because
right.
It's not. Some lies are really deep. You know, I'm
right.
sure that everybody has heard of or seen an iceberg. You know, you see the tip sticking out. Underneath is like 9/10 of the iceberg, you know, and I feel like lies are that way. You know, there's this little tip sticking out, but they go so deep. There's way more substance there than what we're led to believe. So
right.
in the midst of that deep and the pain and the struggles, we need to go down there and find those roots. God desires truth in our innermost being. Psalm 51:6 says that. We need to go there because that's where we're going to eradicate the lie.
Here's the irony. What I do to relax is gardening. Now, you know, in our little preconceived notions of gardening, when I watched Mom and Dad garden as a kid, I thought, oh, that's just so fun. Go out there and plant flowers and they will grow. All you have to do is water them. And the reality is gardening is freaking hard work.
Yes.
And you plant these beautiful plants and you treat the soil and you can do everything right, and they can still die. The roots can rot in the ground.
Mine do.
Oh, the worst enemy of all is the weeds.
Yes.
Why did nobody tell me about weeds when I decided to garden for relaxation? And here's the thing that gets me. I have these wonderful plants, pansies. My mom used to raise pansies and roses because Dad raised roses. So I have them all over our property. And I'll go to weed and those darn things are coming right up in the middle of the pansies or wrapping around the roses, the plants that I love and that I've babied, those weeds are wrapping around them. And it's not just the top of them that's wrapping around. The roots are down, intertwined with the roots of the plant that I love. So you have to go down and you have to pull those weeds out by the roots. And in fact, some weeds you can't pull out by the roots. You have to take a trowel and dig under the roots so that you're taking out the soil that's around them, because there are certain weeds that when you pull them out, this is just amazing. When you pull them out, as soon as the weed feels that it's stressed, it releases other seeds into the soil. So you can pull that sucker out and the weeds or roots are sitting there, but it has still propagated.
Oh.
So you need to get deep below the surface to figure out the roots of these lies. And oftentimes they come to us before we even know it. They come to us in something that someone said or did when we were too young to really understand, or in an action of someone that we loved. And so we need to determine where the roots of those lies are coming from.
And not just that, but some weeds, like we have this stupid Bermuda grass at my house, and the weeds, the roots underneath, they go sideways. They go down and then they shoot sideways and then they go down again and they spring off more sideways. So you're trying to dig out one and you think you've done it, and yet you realize that like a foot below the surface are all of these tentacles going 2 feet sideways. And before you know it, you have dug up your whole stupid bed trying to get one root that you never even saw or thought was part of the plant, because the real plant was like 3 feet away.
You know, I just went through that. I have along my long driveway, I have succulent gardens, the like rocks and cactus and that kind of stuff. And it got infested with Bermuda grass. And when I went to the local gardening place, they said, yeah, no, nothing's going to kill that. You have to dig it up. And what I had to do, I had to dig up the entire succulent garden. I had to pull up all the soil. I had to clean it all out, spray it down with weed killer, and then lay down new landscaping cloth and new soil and new plants. I lost the things that I loved and I had babied because they got invaded, and so pervasively invaded by the Bermuda grass that was in there. That stuff is wicked. And so are the lies that get into our hearts and our lives.
But here's good news. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
So those roots aren't permanent. Those roots aren't indestructible.
Those roots
are destructible. And God has given us the way out. He's given us truth. He's given us Jesus, and he has eradicated them. We just have to claim that and pull those suckers out.
That's right. That's right. So in all the things that we've been talking about today, we realize that there are lies that we have come to believe in our life, lies that we maybe don't know how they started, but they're still lies that we embrace as writers and that tend to cripple us in what we want to do for God. And so we have to turn those things over to him. Those lies are pervasive and they sneak in. They sink their roots deep, oftentimes wrapping them around our fondest desires and goals, even things that are noble and God-breathed. But we have a way to keep them from taking over. And that's, as Aaron said, deal with them head on. Submit them to God. When you see just the tip poking up through the soil, get rid of them.
Yes.
Know that there are roots going deeper, and you submit them to God. You don't have to deal with them alone. All you have to do is take them to the Father and use the tools he's given you through Scripture and trusted friends who will speak truth to you.
And go deep to get rid of them.
That's right.
This has been Right from the Deep
with Karen Ball
and Aaron Taylor Young. Embrace the deep.
Your writing and your life will never be the same.
Amen.
Amen.